So, Father, as we're here, as we recognize moms today, as we come into your house to call upon your name, to worship you, to hear your voice, Lord, using these lips, I trust to speak what you would have us say. Father, let our ears be open, our hearts be ready, and our desire to hear it and do it, so that we ourselves can be built up to do the work you've left us here to do, and that all of us can glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, some moms are known for their cooking, some not so much. Some are known for their, you know, different skills that they have, maybe, you know, knitting and sewing, some do, and some are just great, you know, multitaskers and nurturers, and the moms play so many roles in our lives and you know, various ways, you know, become caregiver, nurse, teacher, you know, activity planner, you know, the finder of lost things, right? Mom, where is it? It's right there. No, I can't find it. Mom goes in here. Boom, you know. But of course, moms know how to love. They know how to nurture. They know how to comfort, to kiss away the little hurts sometimes, to say the right words, to use their mom voice, both to correct, to get attention, and offer comfort, you know. Yeah, moms can look at a child and know that something's wrong before they even, you know, say a word, whether it's physical or an emotional thing they're dealing with, you know. Of course, moms, like dads, have their little sayings, you know, because I said so, right? You know, when I was a little girl, you know, when you have kids of your own, you know, you'll understand, you know. Pack things for the family most times and try to make favorite meals and get everybody ready. They stay up late, you know, and then have to get up early to make sure everything gets going. And I was thinking about different things, and I was thinking about the mothers in our life. I was thinking about my mom, you know, and I was blessed with two very wonderful parents. I was thinking of the role that, you know, my mother had in my life. Thinking of the different things, you know, the serious things and also the funny things. And I was making up this list of different things that moms do. And I saw this thing about packing everything. And I remember when we were, I guess I was about 12 years old, we were up in the Poconos at this resort. And it was a really nice resort, and they used to have, like, dinner shows, you know, and we used to like that as kids, and they had this comedian, and he was a very family-friendly comedian, and we had seen him one night, and we went back to see his act again, and my father got us, you know, we were sitting right up front, and he did something different in this, you know, his skit, I guess because you try to change it up, because people were there for the whole week, you know, and one of the things he started doing in his act was he started just taking women's handbags and looking through them and then commenting on, you know, what he would find, because his whole thing was, you know, moms have everything, you know, this kind of thing, and he would make, and he grabbed my mother's, and she knew, but nobody else knew, and I guess maybe a couple of us knew, what was inside her handbag that night. And he pulls out like a banana, ball, because Ken was always with a ball, and she probably grabbed it from his hand and stuck in her handbag, and he started pulling out all these like bizarro things, and I could see my mother's face like this, you know, and, you know, and just different things that, you know, moms that just, you know, taking care of everybody, so if that's just throw it in my handbag to keep you from playing with it, or I have to keep it in there, so in case you get hungry, you have a snack, or in case you get cut, I have something. It's just a mom type of thing to do. And as I was thinking about those things and praying, Psalm 139 came to my heart. And you might not think it's necessarily a mom psalm, but in a way it really is. But it is a psalm, obviously, for all of us. And, you know, Colin, just going out of order for a second, and you can go back to it, but put up verse 13. You know, in this psalm, David is recognizing what God has done in his life, but he says in the psalm, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." The secret place, if you will, where David was conceived and his mom, and recognizing that God is the one who knits him together, but recognizing the role that his mother played in God's handiwork. And as we look at this, God knitting together people, and doing it in the way of inside the womb of a mom, and as that body is being formed and going through that whole period during gestation, and to recognize that mom, even while the baby's in the womb, already praying and thinking, what's it going to be like? What's this child going to be like? And how am I going to be able to take care for this child? And what are the needs going to be? And then the prayers that start then, and then continue on, waking her up at 3 a.m. and, prayers when they get older, when they, are they home yet? Or where are they? And all the different things that go through that. It starts in that idea of God creating life in the mother's womb. So as you look at Psalm 139 today, I do want to look at the entire psalm. We are going to discover something, that we are not just created. We are all created by God. Every human being is a creation of God, a unique, wonderful creation of God. But according to this psalm, and the way that it reads, especially in other translations, King James and so forth, it says that we are woven together. We're knitted together. That work of intricacy, the work of putting together the billions and what's it, 100,000 miles of nerve fibers or something in the human body. I mean, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's like we're being knitted together. And I think we can see here, as David is recognizing God's work in this, and we do always acknowledge our father, because without him we have nothing. We don't have mothers, we don't have this. But we can see, I think, also the mother's heart in a lot of this too, and how this psalm speaks to us and our connection to our mothers, as God has used them in our lives, but also the connection that we see of a mother recognizing God's work in her life. So let's look at this psalm. Psalm 139, if you have your Bibles there, Colin put up on the screen. Verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. God's work in all of our lives, as David is writing this psalm. We could be reminded, as we focus on moms and their role in our life, about their hidden work for us, things that we never see, whether it's silent prayers or little things done when we're asleep or all those different things that are taking place. And just like a mom likes to know and does know many times all the things about her children, she herself knows that she has limits, but God doesn't. God searches us. He knows us intimately. He knows everything about us. As David's writing this, recognizing God's knowledge of him, he may have, I don't know, I don't want to speculate, but he may have been also thinking about how in the many people, whether it's the Philistines or others that he knew, that their gods were these gods that had no understanding. They were hostile, indifferent to people, because they were really no gods at all. But he knew the true and living God. And he knew that God loved and cared for him so much that he searches him and knows him. See, there's one thing for us to say, right? God knows everything, right? But it's another thing to say he knows me, is it not? It gets real personal, doesn't it? He knows me. You know, same thing. God is everywhere. Yeah, but he's everywhere with me. Wait, God created everything. Yeah, but he created me. Takes it to a whole different personal level. And not only did he do that wonderfully, but as he searches us and knows us, he knows the big things and the little things when we sit down and when we stand up. When we sit down and stand up, when we open our eyes and close our eyes, when we turn our heads, and everything, every detail. Every detail. He knows our thoughts. He understands our thoughts. The smallest aspects of our life, the bigger aspects of our life, but also the things that we consider are the hidden things. See, you know, right now, me, all of us, as you're even listening to this message, we're all also at the same time, our brains are amazing, we're having thoughts, right? Different thoughts. Somebody's saying, is Joe going to be too long because we have a reservation and we want to make sure we finish on time, you know? You know, whatever, we're thinking of things. Guess what? We say, well, they're the things that we keep. You know some people, right? They have no filter, we say, right? Here, goes right out, right? Most of us have a filter. But guess what? Whether we speak it or not, God knows it. He knows our thoughts. Every thought we think. I don't know if that terrifies you. And I guess in some ways it should a little bit, at least give us pause about what we think. You know, but at the same time, I think David's saying, that comforts me. Because you know everything about me, even what I think, yet you still are my God. And you still love me. And you're acquainted with all of my ways. And yet you still hang there with me. God knows and hears everything, whether we speak it out or not. He even hedges us behind and before. He's on every side. He's before us, he's behind us. He's on either side, as far as I'm concerned, to do, you know, what he would to keep us on the path that we need to go on. And again, it should be can be very uncomfortable to think that. You know, we live in a day and age. And I've been thinking a lot about this because it's really starting to dig great on me, you know, big time. We live in a day and age where we are constantly being surveilled. Everywhere you go, you are on camera. If it's just walking by your neighbor's house and it's a Ring doorbell or, you know, the other cameras, you're being, you know, watched as you go down there. Every time you pass an ATM, you're being watched. As you drive down the street, the cameras, I mean, you just look around. I mean, sometimes we don't look at them, but you look around. Everywhere you drive, there's traffic cams. You know, in Philadelphia now, they have all these things like on Broad Street, you know, they from the whole length of Broad Street, you're being watched. If you go above 25 miles an hour, you're going to get a ticket. If you red ticket. I mean, you're just being watched. When I was in London a couple years ago, the people were so getting fed up, especially the taxi drivers and the Uber drivers. They said because they get tickets in the mail constantly. This is we can't. The man picking us up said, "I want to get another ticket." I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "To get you, I had to make this turn." And he said, "And I'm going to get a ticket." We're being watched. And you know, from a human aspect, that bothers me. But when it comes to our God, that comforts me. Because I'm glad he watches out for me. I'm glad he watches out for us. I'm glad that he cares that much about us, that he thinks about us, intimately wants to know our thoughts, and keeps an eye on us at all times. That's comforting. Not having some man or AI system watching me, that bothers the heck out of me. But I'm so glad, just as a mom watches over her children, just as the children many times, even though they, as they get older, they kind of want to rebel against, they're comforted when mom's watching for them, you know, we're looking out for them. We know we have a Father in heaven who's caring for us, that looks down upon us and watches us. He lays his hand upon us. And David finally gets to the point where he just speaks it out. This is too wonderful for my knowledge. This is just too amazing for me to even comprehend, to think about it. And I want us to think about it this morning. Think about how our Father is watching over us. See, he says, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? You know, it's interesting, at least in my life, if you're around my age, as young as you are, you remember that we kind of were the tail end, our generation was kind of the tail end of the generation that had that freedom that mom, you know, used to open the door and say, hey, go out and come back for lunch. You know, we used to go out and just play in the neighborhood and run around and all this kind of stuff. By the time my kids grew up, it's like, where are you? We're trying to watch them every second of the day because we couldn't trust that they could just, you know, not them, the people around them that were looking to snatch and grab and do all that stuff. You know what I mean? But it was always, I think, comforting for me that even though we were out, my mother and my dad, but my parents kind of knew where we were. And my dad would whistle and we'd come running back. You know, I'd hear his whistle, oh, time to go. Or if I saw mom, you know, go to the corner, oh, my mom, you know, run back, you know. Parents want to watch over their kids, but they have a limit. We can't be everywhere, especially as the children get older, you know what I mean? Because then they don't want the gaze of the parents. They want to go and hang out with their friends and do their things, and they want to get out of, you know, that gaze of mom and dad, you know, and all this stuff. And but, you know, again, so many of us people, it's like, you know, well, God, leave me alone. But if you really understand God and his love for you, it's like, I don't want to be away from your presence. See, David, in one hand, if David had a little bit of a Jonah in him when he was writing this, I don't think so. But if he had a little bit of a Jonah in him, he's like, God, you're always like, wow, I mean, God, you're with me always. Where can I go? I want to go into a cave and I want to, you know, go, oh, God. Yeah. But I don't think he's saying that, in my opinion, here. He's saying, it doesn't matter where I go. You're there. If I was to go into the highest heavens, you're there. If I were to make my bed, and it's not hell like the place of lake of torture, it's a lake of fire. This is Sheol, the place of the dead. If I go to the place of the dead, you're there too. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be laid about me, even the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. It's amazing when we think about God's care for us, when we think about his love. So whatever you have experienced with the loving people in your life, and I hope, and you know, may, not all of us had a great situation with our moms growing up, but you know what, I'm sure your mom loved you, you know, regardless of the circumstances, to know that you had that person that was always there for you, to watch out for you, to care for you, even as you got older, you didn't really like it so much, but you knew that they would be there. And more so, we look at our Father and say, Lord, I don't want to flee from your presence. But thank you that you're with me. You're with me always. You're with me in every circumstance. There's nowhere I can go. Paul would say later in Romans, he says, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Height, depth, and nothing can separate us from your love. No matter what. And as we look more in the psalm, David now gets to that part that we already introduced a little while ago. He's hearkening back and he's saying, well, this is amazing how you know everything about me, how you're always with me, how you know my thoughts. But verse 13, you formed me. You formed my inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. You You knitted me together. See, the actual Hebrew word means embroidered. It means embroidered. You worked. Believe me, I know nothing about that stuff. I've seen it, but so I'm not. Hopefully, I don't say anything wrong. But I know it's intricate work. To me, it's too painstaking. That's not my patience area. But you know what? But it's intricate. It takes thought, practice, repetition. It takes love to me. Love of not only doing, but even the desire of who you're making it for when you're embroidering these types of things. God is doing that. He did that in David's life. He did that in our lives. And he did that in the way of within our mother's womb. You know, consider that. You know, we sometimes want to be so clinical when it comes to things like reproduction, you know, and it's, listen, we know as Christians, we should know as Christians, and if you don't know, I want to remind you something that you should know now. It's not just mere biology. Yes, it is biology. We all know the biology. We know the birds and the bees and all that stuff. We understand the biology. But we have to understand that with that biology created by God, there is a God in heaven who is forming us uniquely in our mother's wombs, embroidering us, making us unique. Yes, all in his own image and in his likeness, but in a very unique way that we're all different. All made by him. And David says that we are made in our mother's womb and knitted and embroidered in our mother's womb. And he wants to just shout out and praise the God. And he realizes that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body is incredible. I could have put a bunch of facts up here right now and shown them on the screen and things that we, some of us know, and some of us would go, wow, that's amazing. But just, you know, whether it's about the speed of the nerves things and how far our nerve system would stretch if we stretch it out. I mean, all these different things, our intestines. I mean, there's so much things about the human body. It's incredible. But it goes more than just the biology of the body itself. It's that each one of us has a unique soul and personality designed by God. In our mother's womb. In our mother's womb. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. Church, I will just affirm and reaffirm something that I trust we all believe and know, but life is precious. All life is precious. And yes, it begins at conception, and God knows every life that begins in the womb, and he is the one who is in the process of doing all of that to make us individual, unique, and eternal with an eternal soul. That's why David says, my soul knows it very well. Now imagine David, and by the way, I'm not going to get sidetracked here, but I just always like to say this sometimes. You know, this is my personal belief, okay, that when God created Adam and Eve, perfect and everything, they were the prototype, right? I believe they were brilliant, strong, beautiful, everything. We've been devolving since that because of sin. We're going down. Okay, all right. We have more technology than they did. But I think back in the day, they were smarter than we were. Or some of the things they did back then without the time, I'm like, whoa! You know, you look at some of the stuff back in the ancient times, and even just going back a couple centuries ago, you read some of the writings of the people, and you look at that and say, man, they were deep. You know, we got more technology. Our knowledge is expanding and running to and fro. But think, David had an idea back then about the human body and how wonderfully it was embroidered by God. How much more should we appreciate today when we can see down now, even into the DNA? Right? I know, and I've talked to some that have studied these things, that have come away from this position of us just being, you know, random, you know, explosion things that happen by chance and all this stuff, to say there's no way this intricacy could be there and not have a designer. And when we look at it from the Christian point of view and say, well, that child is in the mother's womb, God is now embroidering it and making that one even special. Unique. A distinct creation of our God. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. In other words, in the womb. And skillfully, listen to this beautiful language, right? Skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. God has a plan for every one of our lives. From the moment we are conceived in our mother's womb, He's got it all there. We even have a manual. We do. I just bought a bike for my grandkids this week, you know. And as you're leaving, so I go, wait, your manual. And I'm thinking, I'm probably never look at this manual, and his parents probably won't look at the manual. But I'll take the manual just in case, right? Guess what? God has a manual for us. He has a book for us. He's saying, where's that book? I want to look at it. Your father knows. Run to him. And see, this is where I think we're bringing this back to moms a little bit today. I think that moms, especially moms who have come to know the Lord, understand that. They understand that they have been given an opportunity to be partners with God in this wonderful thing called creation. And this wonderful thing of being a partner with God in bringing new life into the world. And this opportunity that they have to speak life to their children. An opportunity they have to go to God and say, Father, I'm not sure about the manual, but you know. You've gifted me with this child, and you know this child better than I will ever know them. As much as I love them, you love them more. As much as I care for them, you care for them more. As much as I want to help them, only you could really help them with what they need. You have the book. So, Father, I bring my child to you. I cry out to you to watch over them. Keep them in all their ways. Help me to be the best parent, mom, that I can be. Because, Lord, I know you have a plan for their life. And you have a plan for my life when I was in the womb. That you saw the day that I would be a parent and a mom. And you saw the day that I'd be sleepless and, you know, just wondering, can I do this? You saw the day I'd be a grandmom or an aunt or whatever, you know, whatever role the moms play in our life. Lord, I need to come to you. Help me. See, David realized that, and that's why he says in verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number of the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. I'm sure in many ways, many mothers have prayed that. Father, you know what I'm feeling right now. Scared, sad, rejected, whatever it might be, confused, angry, disillusioned, disappointed, feeling let down, unappreciated. But Father, you know my thoughts. You know my thoughts. You know everything about me. And you're with me. You're with me. Even the nights when I just fall asleep on my face, not even in mid-prayer, because I'm so exhausted and so worn out, when I wake up, you're still there. You didn't leave me. Now the psalm takes an interesting turn here. And when I first, you know, thought about it in context of Mother's Day and everything like this, I'm thinking, well, do I skip these couple verses? No, I don't like to skip God's word. But then I realized that it fits really well. See, abruptly, as David's now looking at the creation of God, him in particular, his life, and all that God has done, and all of his thoughts towards him, he abruptly shouts out, if you will. You know, I say he shout out because he says, oh, that you would slay the wicked. Like, whoa, David, where did this come from? Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? And I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them as my enemies. And you know what? As I began to look at it and say, Lord, how does this kind of fit into this, especially as we're focusing on, you know, your creation in the mother's womb and Mother's Day and everything. And then, you know what just came to my heart and mind? Mama Bear. You have the quietest woman who you think is so, you know, and you do something to their kids and Mama Bear comes out. See, David is here and he's worshiping God. He's praising God. And then he says, God, I hate those who hate you. They're your enemies. They're my enemies. I count them as my enemies. Because he knew the damage that people do to people and the way that they hurt people and the way that they, you know, they take the beauty that God has created and they try to destroy it on so many different fronts. He says, Lord, I hate that. And you might say, but that doesn't sound like New Testament to me. Well, the New Testament version of this would be the same type of thing, but to say, you know, Lord, I hate everything the enemy has done to destroy your handiwork. Lord, there are some people that, Lord, yeah, I really want to, you know, but Lord, they're in captivity. They're bound up by the evil one. I hate that. I hate the work of Satan in their life. I hate the way work of Satan in this world. I hate the way that Satan goes about trying to destroy this creation. Yeah, Lord, I can go. I get it. We brought it into the world. But yet, Lord, as I see it, I see the downfall of our sin and how Satan has taken advantage of it. Lord, I hate it. And moms, dads too, but moms, let that arise within you and pray spiritual warfare. Pray against the work of the enemy. Yes, start in your homes, over your children and your grandchildren, your spouse. You know, start there, but then pray it out further. Lord, I come against the work of the enemy. I come against his weapons. I come against his plans. I come against all that he wants to do to destroy this beautiful creation of people that you have brought into this world. Lord, I come against them and pray against his work that it would not prosper. That, Lord, your plans would prevail, especially in my family, especially in my household. And then he knows, David, and he realizes where his heart and mind is. And he realizes that anger that he has against the wicked. And by the way, you know, that is a righteous anger in this case. You know, it's a righteous anger because we cannot. And this is sometimes where the church gets caught into a trap. You know, we love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your enemy as yourself. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. We understand that. But at the same time, we have to hate what God hates. We do. We can't say we love God and then cozy up to evil. Or turn a blind eye to it. We have to call evil for what it is. We have to come against evil. We have to pray against it. And we have to sometimes work against it. Because if we are the people of God, if we are called by his name, that's how we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's how we love others, to keep the evil, retard that evil in their life, to keep them from the evil. But David says, and what he knew is what we need to know. In doing all of this, Lord, search me. Because you know I want to get out the machine gun right now. And the real machine gun, not the spiritual machine gun. I want to just, oh, you know. Lord, search me. Know my heart. Know my heart, God. Look, David, he was a soldier. He was a warrior. David killed many people in his life. David did it not only in the proper way, when I say the proper way, not only in a righteous way. David did it in a very unrighteous way. So he knew the depths of his own heart. Some of us have to remember our hearts, all of our hearts, are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? The depths of what any, you might think, I would never do that. Oh, in the right circumstance, in the right situation, right opportunity. Oh, it'd be amazing what you could do or would do that you never thought you would. So in all of this, Lord, search my heart. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. And know my anxieties. There's a lot of anxiety in our our world today. According to those who track such things more than ever before, I have my own theories as to why that might be. But anxiety is deep and big, pervasive and widespread. And we all have them in different areas of our life. There's all different types of anxieties that we have. What may make one person anxious, you might think is nothing, but then you have something that they don't, but you have them. God knows. See, the Bible says, don't be anxious about anything. But in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. Then the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your heart and mind. The Bible tells us to take every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. He knows our thoughts already, but you have to say, Lord, search me. I know you are already, but search me and know me and help me. It's really a cry I know myself. Reveal me to myself. So that as I bring these before me, as I come up with what even are the source of my anxieties, what's the roots of my anxieties? But Lord, I cast them all upon you. And as many mother has had those anxious thoughts about their children and grandchildren, continue to pray for them even to this day. You know what? They don't know where to go with those anxieties. They cast their cares upon the Lord because he cares for them. And when your thoughts start to run wild with the what ifs and the this and the that, bring it before God. Make those thoughts into captivity to Jesus Christ. And say, Lord, you don't not only know me, but you know my children. You know my grandchildren. You know those special people you put in my life. I bring them before your throne. I cast all my cares and anxiety upon you. And I trust you. I trust them with your hands. And Lord, see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So remember, moms and everybody else, as we celebrate Mother's Day, that we're seen in the secret places by God. That we're hemmed in by him all around. But I want to leave us with this thought that we are all co-laborers with God in this wonderful work of creation. Moms in a real special way. Not that dads aren't involved, but moms in that real special way as they carry that child. But all of us, once the children are brought into this world, of raising them in a way to bring them to know the true and living God. That wonderful soul that God has a plan for, and that plan for God, according to his word, is that not any would perish, but all would come to repentance. And we uniquely have a role with everyone that we could encounter as we think about on this Mother's Day, as we celebrate mothers in different ways. Lord, how can I help that process to do this work that is left before us, that we all can be led into the way of life everlasting, eternal with you? Jesus recognized and honored Mary's role in his life. He was subject to her as a young boy. We see that at 12 years old, you know. We see at Cana, you know, when he did what she asked him to do. And we see it all the way to the cross when he entrusted her into John's hands to make sure that she was well cared for. Yes, as God, he cared for her and he could take care of her, but he entrusted her in the hands of a human being, as God has entrusted human beings into our hands. But we know we only can go so far with it. So together we ask, Lord, help us to complete this work you've left us to do. Can we pray for moms now? Especially moms. We'll pray for all of us, but moms, you know, we do honor you today, and we recognize the role that you play, maybe even more so as we went through Psalm 139 today. But we want to honor you, not just with tokens and not just with a happy Mother's Day on our lips, but with prayer as we bring you, whether moms are here today, or we're praying for moms that are not with us today, or, you know, sometimes we have to even, you know, the remembrance of mom, we want to lift them up in prayer right now. Father, we thank you for this, your word in Psalm 139. And we thank you for how much you love us and care about us and have a design and a plan for our lives, and you're with us always, and you see all things, and your hand is upon us. But Lord, we want to recognize and celebrate the partnership role that we all have with you in this idea of creation, especially the mothers and their special role. So Father, we lift them up to you now in prayer. Father, we pray for them. We pray that this word today would comfort their hearts, that they would know they're not alone in this work. It sometimes can feel like they're alone, but they're not. You are with them. You're always with them. And Father, they have a big job to do, even if they're older now and their children are grown and maybe they're dealing with grandkids or even great-grandchildren or maybe others, nieces and nephews or others. But Lord, they realize they still have a role to play. So let them, Lord, start by bringing those special people in their life to you to be prayer warriors, to pray against the work of the enemy in their life, to come against the work of evil, and to pray that those that they love, Lord, would be followers of Jesus Christ, that they would be protected from the evil one. So we pray for moms now that they would be stirred up with a heart of prayer, a heart of intercession, a heart of worship. That, Father, that their anxieties, they would learn today even more so how to cast all those cares upon you. To know, Lord God, that they can take those anxieties and they can bring them before you in prayer, and you hear the prayers. You hear the cries of the heart. And that, Lord God, their anxieties and their cares, Lord God, you know. They're in your book, but Lord, you want to give them peace. You want to comfort them. You want to give them the strength and the wisdom they need. You want to comfort them in mind and body and spirit. So, Lord, I pray for moms today that they would cast their cares upon you. And, Father, we lift them up today, the ones that are hurting and family issues right now, that families may be in a little disarray. There may be some other things. There may be moms feeling underappreciated right now. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for them, that they would be comforted, they'd be strengthened, and they would remember, Lord, there's nothing that they do that is unseen by you. And that, Lord, and even in this world, if they never get the recognition, one day as they have accepted you and your forgiveness, they will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So, Lord, we pray again for moms and moms in our lives. We pray you protect them and keep them, provide for them in every way. And we thank you for them and your word today to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.